Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and BaltimorePositive.com. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week out at State Fair in Catonsville on Friday. I'll have some scratch-offs, handful left of the holiday cash drops. I am getting into the 50th anniversary of the old wishbones. I'm going to have some of those coming up soon from our friends at the Maryland Lottery, also our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. Very easy. Buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. It's a good deal. I got a guy here who knows about 0% financing from time to time as well. Dennis Colazzo joins us now from Coons, Baltimore Ford. He's over at Security Boulevard, buying them, selling them, figuring out this thing. This is usually your favorite time of the year because it's combines, and we're going to trade Lamar for draft picks, and we're going to have to look at one of these Bryce quarterbacks or these CJs or something like that. But I'm not even going to like begin with football with you, or with Lamar with you, or any of that. How are you? How's life? We're down to like 3 football games left. It's getting, you know, this is getting to be lean times here, right?
Yeah, got to the final 8. Right now we're down to the final 4. Life is good. The outlook is good. Things are trending in a positive direction. We have some things to talk about with the Ravens, but in terms of the NFL, they're doing well. It's a great brand, a great product, and I'm happy to be able to view it this time of the year, even with the Ravens out of the playoffs.
You're funny, man. You'll tape football games. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I actually, on Saturday, I DVR'd the Jacksonville, Kansas City game because I had a yoga class at 4 o'clock and yoga helps my back and, you know, on and on. So I caught up at the 2-minute warning, but like, I haven't taped games in years and years. What would happen? And this is, I'm going to pay a little tribute to my mother here, if you don't mind, but because my mother, her favorite quarterback now would be Brock Purdy, because I would always take her out and say, "Hey, you like that dress, Mom?" She'd say, "That's Purdy," is what she. So we, every time we see Brock Purdy, we're like, "Ah, we like that guy there." But you know, my mom back in the day, when I first started doing radio, I would, and I was young, chasing girls. I had a VCR, one DVR, it was the VCRs, tapes. So I put the tape in. And I'd say to my mom, who was then in her like late 70s or 80s, I'd say, "Mom, don't call me." And this is before text, any of that. "Don't call me and tell me about the Orioles because I'm taping the game. I got a date. I don't have a pager." It's before any of that, right? She would call me every morning, or I would come to pick my son up, take him to school because he spent the night with her or whatever. "Hey, Orioles lost. Hey, blew it last night." I'd be like, "Mom, God, I taped the game," you know?
So
modern era, if you tape a game, you have to put your phone.
You can't text
messages.
You can't
look at your phone, right?
Social media, Twitter, you can't look at it. Or the result will be revealed to you. My mother, she still does the same thing to me today. And, you know, by the way, speaking of moms, my listens to WNST. It's the only station she listens to, and she knows when my show is on. She also listens throughout the week because you're gracious enough to put a couple of segments with me on her. But Mom is probably the number one listener of WNST.
Well, good. I hope she enjoys our conversation with Rebecca Hoffberger this week about the future of the city and the roller coaster over the harbor and all that stuff.
No, right, she enjoyed the station.
I want to do football with you, and we always do football, you and I, right? And listen, I know you're not the biggest baseball guy, but you got a soul for the Orioles, and I do as well. And you love the city, and you want to see the city prosper. And I think we both would agree, and I don't mean this in a bad way, a prosperous Orioles would mean more than a prosperous Ravens, just because they play 81 games. It would mean more to bars and restaurants because of what a pennant race would do. I mean, I've been to these St. Louis and Boston, these places where a baseball pennant race that captures a community. If Buffalo had a baseball team, it would mean more to Buffalo than the Bills, just because they're there. They stimulate commerce. The John Angelos thing on Martin Luther King Day, I am a guy who's like, I've never met John Angelos. I've never shaken his hand. I've offered him to come on, like all of that. So I don't have any like angst with John Angelos, like other than he's run the team for 5 or 6 years. And now the report card's no longer out on Dad. The report card's out on him, right? And I think you remember me writing a Dear John and Lou note back when they hired John Vitalin, when it was very clear their father was not doing well. We're 5 years into that now. Now, the team's on the field, has some mobility, and I'm sure people at Coons Ford talk about it a little bit. I don't know how in the modern world he would ever live down that video piece from last Monday. I really like – It was awful as a coming out party for people that don't even know who he is. This is a reason to go see who he is, and it's not a good reason, man.
Well, the other piece that looked real bad, Nestor, was if you're going to have a press conference on Martin Luther King's birthday, right? Martin Luther King Day, you shouldn't use that as an excuse not to answer questions on that day. That had nothing to do with the questions being asked. So if your comfort level wasn't there, I mean, what difference did the day make? I really took exception at that. And also the way he came after that reporter, you know, a stinger first, if you would, and the comments he made were just unacceptable.
Well, there was a level of arrogance, entitlement,
disrespect, excuses.
Yeah,
I mean, it was all there. It was all there for
deflection,
the
right? Literally
public to
deflection.
See. Yeah, deflection. Yeah. Not a good look. That's not what you want to see from ownership. It doesn't make me feel good as an analyst, reporter, fan, you name it. It just doesn't make me feel good.
Well, and then the fact that there isn't a lease, that Steve just took $600 million, that all of this is in dispute, that they made, their general manager made promises about investments that would be made in the offseason to make the team better, and they haven't made the team better. Yeah. So, like, it's all of his father's problems, and his father wasn't good at any of this either. His father was good at making money and suing people and intimidating people and beating people up. I mean, like, that, and then the more money he got and the more using the law to beat people up. Like, I don't know. They should be turning a new page. I wrote about them, and I used the Rocky and Bullwinkle, not as the cartoon, but more about Rocky Wirtz. Rocky Wirtz was the son of the Wirtz, Bill Wirtz, who owned the Blackhawks in Chicago, and was a famously awful, old school, miserly, didn't put the games on TV, didn't care about the fans, was living in the 1950s, dark ages, like all of that you probably could apply to Peter's ownership of the baseball team, but that there would be new light. And that if John and his brother wanted to, I mean, obviously, since the last time he got together, he and his brother are having a blood feud with all of it in writing out in the public eye. And like to come out and not take questions about that, it's derelict to me for running the brand. And I don't know how anybody could have confidence in it. It's one thing for me to beat the Orioles up and run and Free the Birds, which was 17 years ago now. Free the Birds was 17 years ago. Like, and they've done nothing to ever say I was wrong or like anything that's obviously proven me to be the jack wagon in the relationship. But this was his coming out party. And I do worry about all of this, Dennis, right? As a sports guy, I've now been banned from going to the Super Bowl. The NFL's at war with me. We have three reporters in the city and the Ravens have decided to go to war with me. This was an anti-media thing and it played out and in front of the fans and in front of the mayor. I mean, the mayor was 5 feet away and I'm like, oh, you know, I just thought none of it was good. And there's nobody to clean it up. And I think that's the unfortunate part. You know what I mean? It's just sitting there.
Well, do you really think he's going to open up the books and show people what the books look like? I don't think that'll ever happen. I don't think we'll ever see the books. And for me, I don't need to see the books. I need to see a better product on the field. I need to see a commitment to the city. That's what I want to see. I can care less about. I hope he's making money. He's not. The Orioles are not a nonprofit organization. We expect the sports team to make revenue, right? But we also expect good value in return. A commitment to the city would be nice. Commitment to building a better baseball team would be nice. I mean, I went to a couple of games last year and I had fun. It was great being at the park, watching all the young guys run around. I sat behind home plate. So you're right. It's more of a communal thing with the. I mean, when the Ravens win, it's great. When the Orioles win, it's fantastic. It's a whole different level. And this is coming from a football guy. I mean, I appreciate respect what you said earlier when we opened up the segment.
Well, they play every day. It's a different kind of soap opera.
It is.
You're winning and people are into it and they're into the community and the community aspect of it. I mean, we've lost all semblance of the community aspect of this when they're throwing me out and intimidating me and bullying me and dropping a dime on the NFL to get me thrown out of the Super Bowl. So, like, that's how the Ravens are behaving toward me, but how are they behaving toward the community? So I wanted to get your vibe on the Thursday press conference. You and I we wrote the script on Monday. Literally everything we said they were going to say, they've now come out and said it. Now, whether it's true or not, but it is unbelievable in the modern era how I go out on the internet And people think that they were being honest on Thursday, and that that's really, you're smiling at me. You're laughing at me is what you're doing, Dennis.
Nothing with you. Nothing's changed. That's the whole thing. People talk like there's something revolutionary happened during this press conference, and there was nothing new. It was regurgitated information. Nothing's changed. The notion that Lamar Jackson is going to have a say in a new coordinator, that's not going to happen. They may say, hey, Lamar, what do you think? But he will have zero input in who they eventually select. I mean, that was just one of those feel good, and we love Lamar, and we're not 100%, and we're 200% in as wanting him to be a quarterback, but the impasse hasn't changed. Nestor, here's the question. Will the Ravens give him a guaranteed contract, the fully guaranteed contract? The answer is no. Will Lamar Jackson accept anything less than a guaranteed contract? That's the only question. Doesn't matter whether he wants to be in Baltimore or not. Is he willing? What's his appetite for taking less than guaranteed money? They're going to tag him, and they'll listen. They'll be open for business, and if they can't do a deal with him, they will summarily trade him. And when people hear us talk, we're not trying to run Lamar Jackson out of here. We love Lamar Jackson, but it is very much a business. But after that, they said nothing during that press conference, Nestor, that was new, and not that I expected them to.
Well, but it did change the temperature of fans who – aren't sophisticated enough to realize what's going on. And honestly, like, Luke attended that press conference and asked a tough question, and there were several tough questions during the press conference and all the deflection. I mean, DaCosta was either disinterested, and I don't think he was disinterested. I just think he was so nervous about lying that he was looking down at the table and, like, writing the whole time. And I'm thinking to myself,
he just spent a lot of time on a bike, on a Peloton.
On the Peloton, yes.
And he was sweating. He had to post workout sweat. And then, of course, Mrs. DaCosta said that's what he does. He writes because he was going to be a lawyer, and he writes down ideas. Although it looked more like he was scribbling.
He was scribbling.
Yeah, he wasn't writing. He
scribbled in my presence in the past too. But but I would say that is a nervous energy at a press conference as the leader of the organization to look up and just say, I love Lamar Jackson. I'm all in on Lamar Jackson. We fully expect Lamar Jackson will be our quarterback in September.
But of
nobody
course,
said anything like that.
They had to pump him up because and they have to create the narrative that they're doing all they can to sign him in order to keep the market value up. Had they said, listen, you know what? We're going to move away from him. He's been hurt the last 2 years, blah, 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 blah. The last thing you want to do as a business is diminish a player's value. So, of course, it was a love fest, love in for Lamar Jackson, right? We're doing all that we can. They never said we're closed for business. They never said we won't listen to offers, right? They said we're going to do all we can to sign Lamar Jackson. That's all we expect them to do anyway and say as a team. Now, what is Lamar Jackson's appetite? So I'm with you. This thing hasn't moved one inch, one iota. Now you got the Joe Burrow situation. Let's see if the Bengals extend him in the offseason, right? Regardless of what happens in the playoffs here. That could also set a mark because I don't see Joe Burrow getting a guaranteed contract either. So if the league has reversed now back since the Deshaun Watson signing to not give guaranteed contracts, right? Kyler Murray, you have Russell Wilson. If Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert don't sign guaranteed contracts, well, guess what? Lamar Jackson isn't getting one either.
I watched these teams play over the weekend, and I'm trying to envision Lamar Jackson going into Buffalo in a snowstorm and beating the Bills. I'm trying to envision them going out to Kansas City and beating Patrick Mahomes. I look at this and say, where has Lamar been physically in January? What happened to Mahomes over the weekend? What happened to Burrow getting rolled up over the weekend? And what that would mean and the way Lamar plays the game. I still look at this and say, if you're a fan of the organization, and you and I always say we're a fan of the Ravens, not necessarily like Lamar, but there will be a life as a Raven fan after Lamar, right? Like, just like there was life after Ray Lewis and everybody else, right? I would say if they sign Lamar and they get something they're happy with and he's $160 million, whatever it is, right? If he says, I'm happy and takes the deal, do we wake up happy the next day with that? Or would we be happier having $50 million back and three number one draft picks and saying, let's start from scratch? Because I don't really believe this style of offense over 20 games, as he gets older, with less talent around him by the virtue of having a $50 million deal, that we are going to win a Super Bowl in this time and place. And I mean 24, 25, 26. Forget anything after that. Next 3 years, are we going to beat Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, down, you know, down the these guys that are in the way. Josh Allen, forgot about him. Didn't take long. Only scored 10 points the other day. But is Lamar the guy to beat them? Are you fully committed that you're winning a Super Bowl with him if you give him $180 million guaranteed money if you're Steve? Or is it next January he's hurt and he might play, he might not play? I don't know. I think he's diminished his value to the Ravens over the last 6 months. I think the Ravens look at him now and say, I don't think so. I think they've lost confidence in him in the building, and that's why he'll be dealt, not because – I think they're exasperated. That was the word I used. Same word Jack Gibbons used with me at the Sun.
In his defense, okay, the Ravens were the number one seed in the AFC back in 2019. His receivers were two rookies, Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin, Seth Roberts, Willie Snead, and Chris Moore. They really haven't done much better than that to give them more weapons. So my thing is, I see them tagging him. I hope he plays on the tag. I don't think he will. I think they're going to get him a veteran wide receiver too, maybe. I think they'll go back on the draft.
There's no thought they're going to tag him and think he's going to play, right? Like, that's all. Dennis, that's all. That's fantasy land on the internet. On the internet. Tag him. He's got an obligation to play. And you'd say, well, he's going to make $50 million. He'll show up for work.
He may.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will, but he may. But the Ravens, whether it's Lamar Jackson or anyone else, Taylor Heinicke, for instance, they have to get some receivers on the outside. They have to get some explosion. They have to get some guys. Saw T. Higgins. He said, you know, when they throw me a ball, it's not 50-50. It's 80-20. They don't have a receiver on the roster like that right now, at least not a healthy one. So you can't bank on Rashad Bateman coming back and having a healthy year. He hasn't been healthy in two seasons in a row. So you got to bring in a veteran.
Our quarterback hasn't been healthy the last 2 years in a row, and he wants $50 million a year.
10 games. Well, they all get hurt.
I'm just saying, if you're going to tag Bateman with that, you better add Jackson onto that.
There's always going to be injury, a concern of injury for your quarterback. Even the quarterback that doesn't run, they get hit hard in the pocket. They get hit hard when they're moving around the pocket. But my point is, whether they sign him or not, they have to get – that's why they're interviewing all these hotshot passing game coordinators, because they need a better scheme. But you also need the Jimmys and Joes, right? I've always said, give me the Jimmys and Joes. We'll figure out the X's and O's. That's superior. We saw the talent gap between the Eagles and the Giants the other night, right? We saw that the Eagles had much better Jimmys and Joes. They had thoroughbreds, while the Giants, for lack of a better term, had donkeys and mules.
Well, they got the 49ers got a Jimmy and Joe as a quarterback, and the Cowboys got a $40 million quarterback. He's got his commercials. He's playing golf this week. As my mom would say, ain't he pretty?
You can't turn the ball over and win in the NFL. It's a recipe for disaster, Nestor. But my point is, they've got to address wide receiver. That is job one. I think DaCosta acknowledged that. I think he's learned from his mistakes as general manager in the past. He seems to be a quick study. He's a smart guy. I do think they're going to get, you know, maybe their number one draft pick is a wide receiver. Maybe the kid with the bad hamstrings from Ohio State. Who knows, right? Maybe a cornerback. But they got to get a veteran wide receiver and a high draft pick in order to supplement, to augment the receiving corps, no matter who the quarterback is in 2023 for the Ravens. That's a fact.
Well, Dennis Colatzos is here. He is not a gambling man. He is over at the Coons Forest Security Boulevard running things over there. But I'm going to make you make me a gamble right now. Like, so what's going to happen? Not, you know, all the possibilities. We know what they've said. In your mind, in my mind, people are texting me and asking me. I have other sports radio hosts text me, and I text them back two words. And I'm not that strong. 31 years, I don't make these strong pronouncements that I have egg on my face later, or I get embarrassed later. I always tell people, the only time I've ever been wrong on the radio, flat out wrong, is I said Billick wasn't going to get fired in 08 because no one there believed he was, including him. And then he got fired anyway. I was really wrong on that one. I would have sent out the wrong text on your behalf. But I could be wrong on this one, but I'm going to go strong and say, I think he's gone. And for all of these reasons, there's too much smoke. There's too much. What you said, well, Bateman hadn't been available the last 2 years. I think there's a little bit of that in the building. And then just that seed that's planted that maybe he could have played last week and chose not to.
Yeah, but
even believe a seedling that he could have played, if you have an inkling of that, that's not good. That's not good.
But Lester, we saw Tony Pollard, right, the running back for the Cowboys. He went down First, they said maybe a high ankle sprain, and then it became a broken ankle. He just diminished his value for next season. I don't blame Lamar Jackson for not playing if his knee was wobbly. I just don't. You know,
I don't either. But the question is, was the knee really wobbly? Like that, as a fan, I'm asking that.
Yeah, I
and
think it was
the players
enough.
Coming out on his behalf after the game, and RG3, and why wasn't he in Cincinnati? And like, he's trying to protect himself too, right? I mean, literally.
He didn't have to be in Cincinnati, but I like you. I think they're going to tag him. I think they're going to get a king's ransom to trade him. But then that opens up the problem for the Ravens is if you don't have a quarterback, you can't compete. You just can't compete. So. You bring in a guy like Taylor Heinicke for a year while your rookie quarterback, your top 10 draft pick, hopefully develops. And if the guy develops, yeah, you hit a home run. But if he doesn't develop, you're going to be – being in a quarterback purgatory is no place to be in the NFL. So that's the problem.
I've been going through all my old Super Bowl pictures. I found pictures of me and Jeff Blake. Well, I found pictures of me and Stoney Case.
You know, the only guy that ever figured out the quarterback position properly was Joe Gibbs. Having won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, none of them in the Hall of Fame, right? He had such great pieces around his quarterbacks. He had a great defense, a great running game, great receivers, right? So that was a fun team to watch back in the day. But I don't see that happening in the modern NFL where you can have journeyman at quarterback winning Super Bowls for you.
Brock Purdy's 2 hours away.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't see enough out of him. I don't see him coming up big against the Eagles. I think his ceiling isn't high enough, at least in his rookie year, to propel him past a powerhouse like the Eagles. I don't see it happening.
Dennis is going to be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 and then driving you home again on Sunday. You'll hear he and I and Luke chattering on Friday and Saturday as we get closer to the weekend and these games up in Philadelphia and out in Kansas City. All right, so I want to go back one more step to the press conference because we've covered a lot of ground here all over the place. But John says Lamar will be a part of picking the offensive coordinator, be a part of the decision.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself,
how long was his nose when he said that? Was it growing?
All of it. And when I
could
call
have swore
a lie,
his nose
a lie,
were growing.
I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy that just doesn't have a press pass anymore. So I would say this, all the Pinocchio aside on that, what does he say to this parade of offense coordinators that come in? Because they bring him in, though, he's supposed to sit down. And the first thing they're like is,
it doesn't matter.
How are things with Lamar?
Doesn't matter. If you have a first-time offensive coordinator, Nestor, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. He's coming in. If you've got a guy who's an assistant someplace, right, and he's never been an offensive – there's only 30 – John was right when he said it's one of the best jobs in the world. There's only 32 of them, right, just like the head coaching position. So if you have a hotshot, a coordinator that can run the whole offense, who's never had opportunity, it doesn't matter. It won't matter who the quarterback is. He's coming in to create his own offense, right? Period. Regardless of the quarterback.
I remember having this conversation with Mike Tomlin and Jim Schwartz. So to give you the date on this, be 9 or 10 in that range. Schwartz had just taken the Detroit job. They were 0-0.
Right.
Right. He'd just taken the job.
Right. Because Schwartz, you're right. He was never head coach prior to that. Right. And so what do you do?
Mike Patton took that Cleveland job because it was
even if it's a bad job, you take it because there's only 32 of them. Right. That's my point.
That's exactly what Mike Tomlin and Jim Schwartz said to me. They're like, there's 32 of these jobs. You take
it. The Ravens, fan base are like, oh, you know what? There's no coordinator going to take this job, not knowing. Of course there are. Why wouldn't they? If it's a step up in position, positional step up, if it's a step up in pay.
But my question would be, what is your offense? Because if your crystal ball and my crystal ball are, they're going to tag him, they're going to entertain offers, and they're going to trade him, and they're going to have a pick April 28th in the top 8, 10, whatever it's going to be, whatever they're going to do, that is a different job than Lamar's my coordinator. Like, But more than that, it's probably a different offense. You might want a different kind of. I mean, everything around Greg Roman, run.
But you have a good offensive line. You have a good tight end group. You have good running backs, right? You don't have receivers, so you have really one glaring area in the offense you have to fix: receivers. So you're not coming into a completely decimated offense. The building blocks are there, beginning with that offensive line. If you have an offensive line, the scheme is secondary, because no good scheme can overcome a poor offensive line. And they have a solid offensive line, so if I'm a coordinator, Of course, it's an attractive job. I've got a great defense behind me, right? So it's complementary defense football. I've got special teams. I have a head coach who's not going anywhere, at least in the foreseeable future. So yeah, the building blocks for me to come in as an OC, it's a very attractive job. John was right.
I agree with that, but I don't think that it's a commitment that they need a running game first offensive coordinator,
No, they
because I don't
don't.
believe in their mind that the experiment is something they're going all in with another $200 million to this quarterback.
No, the Bengals ran the ball effectively against the Bills. That offensive line was the difference in that game, as was the Bengals' defensive line. It's the guys in the trenches that really make the difference. And you've got to be able to run the ball and stop the run in the NFL. And the Ravens can do both. They can stop the run, as we saw in the Bengals game, and they can run the ball effectively. So that is a great building block for any passing game coordinator or coordinator period. Great place to start.
I know you sold Fords all over the world for a long, long time. I would think that they're somewhere in Chickamauga or Amherst or Depew or North Tonawanda. There's one really, really sad Dennis Colazzo sitting at whatever the Coons Ford of Western New York, Seneca Ford or
Oh,
wherever it's going to be,
yeah.
just struggling right now. I mean, watching the Bills get run like that, it
Oh,
was,
they got
and
worked.
they got worked. They really did. And they got pushed around, and the Stephon Diggs thing, not a good look all the way around.
Yeah,
Better to
frustrated.
be here than Buffalo today. And I mean that sincerely.
I think it's funny how Ravens fans are like, well, we beaten the Bengals, we would have went up there and took it to the Bills. No, every game, we didn't beat the Bengals. Every game stands alone, okay? We lost to the Bengals, get over it. And I hate the Bengals, but you know what? Give the devil his due. They went up there, took care of business.
You hate the Bengals now, do
Well,
you? I've
I
never
do.
heard you say, I
Oh,
hate the Bengals.
absolutely. Yeah, arrogant and whatnot. I'm rooting for anybody who's playing against them.
Things I never had on a bingo card that anybody in Baltimore would say, I hate the Bengals.
Oh, right.
It's been
No,
3 decades, you
they're going
know?
to be a tough out going forward. They really are. They have talent everywhere. Look, you got to give them credit. Like them or not, they went up there and punched the Bills in the mouth, took their lunch money.
And they've gone out to Kansas City and done that before. So I'm wearing my Chiefs red on behalf of Coons Baltimore Ford. Dennis Colazzo is here. You
Chiefs.
can find him at D Colazzo Show and on Twitter, as well as Dennis Colazzo. And of course, always here from 3 p.m. until 5 p.m. driving home on Thursday, and again on Sunday morning, and little bit bits and drips and drabs on Saturday, Friday and Saturday around here with Luke and I as well. Take care. So anything you want to say about cars and deals? And I'm crowing
Yeah.
about Window Nation and
Yeah.
0% and all that. You've got more cars than you've had in a long time, and my wife keeps looking at the cars and say, gotta go drive one. I like 2 days ago, Saturday, I'm like, I got a guy. I know a guy out of Coons
Should
Ford.
bring one out too. But no, business is great, Nestor. We have over 200 new vehicles in stock, over 200 used. We still have 0%, some 0% on some of our new vehicles. A great time to come out to Coons Ford of Baltimore, where business is just fantastic, Nestor. We just get a lot of repeat referrals, a lot of great people coming in from WNST, Baltimore Positive Advertising. Encourage all of our listeners to support all of our businesses on WNST.
I will be on the west side of town in Catonsville, right down Rowland
Ice,
Road from
ice.
Mr. Colazzo's over in the 21228. We'll have some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away. Oh, sideways. There we go. Holiday cash drop, right ways. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I even have my bucket hat that I brought out. I look a little silly in it when I put it on, but I'm going to put it on right now. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.